This morning I want to share a message on this Remembrance Sunday. And the message is very simple. It's called In Remembrance of Me. And obviously we're going to talk about, you know, Jesus. And, you know, because whilst we are thankful for all those, the sacrifices of men and women down through the years, the natural sacrifices of them, so that they can secure our freedom that we enjoy today, ultimately we look to Christ Jesus, the one who paid the ultimate price and made the ultimate sacrifice. The thing is this, that when other people make a sacrifice, there is still sacrifice necessary. When Jesus Christ made the ultimate sacrifice on the cross, gave his life, poured out his blood, he said, "It is finished." There was nothing else left to be done. We cannot add to it or take away from it. It is the finished work of Christ on the cross. And so we are thankful for his sacrifice and his love toward us. Amen? Amen. Amen. Come on, we've got to get excited about our salvation. Glory to God. So let's go then into Luke chapter 22. And we're going to read a familiar text for some of us. Luke chapter 22. And we're going to read verses 7 through to verse 20. So those of you that have either a physical or access to an electronic Bible, Luke chapter 7, verse 20. Luke chapter 22, verse 7 through to verse 20. Okay? And in Luke's gospel, it reads like this. "Then came the day of unleavened bread on which the Passover lamb had to be sacrificed. So Jesus sent Peter and John, saying, 'Go and prepare the Passover for us, that we may eat it.' They said to him, 'Where will you have us prepare it?' He said to them, 'Behold, when you have entered the city, a man carrying a jar of water will meet you. Follow him into the house that he enters, and tell the master of the house, "The teacher says to you, where is the guest room where I may eat the Passover with my disciples?" And he will show you a large upper room furnished. Prepare it there." And they went and found it just as he had told them, and they prepared the Passover. Verse 14. "And when the hour came, he reclined at table, and the apostles with him, and he said to them, 'I have earnestly desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. For I tell you, I will not eat it until it is fulfilled in the kingdom of God.' And he took up a cup, and when he had given thanks, he said, 'Take this and divide it among yourselves. For I tell you that from now on, I will not drink the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God comes.' And he took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to them, saying, 'This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me.' And likewise, the cup after they had eaten, saying, 'This cup that is poured out for you is the new covenant in my blood.'" And there are certain things, aren't there, that we need to look back and remember. Every single one of us has things in our lives that we perhaps look back and we remember almost with a fondness. And it's right and proper. There are certain things that we need to look back and remember with a fondness. Christ's death, the death of a loved one, are two things that are worth remembering, revisiting again and reminding ourselves what has happened. Czesław Miłosz, a Polish-American poet, he said this: "The living owe it to those who no longer can speak to tell their story for them." William Shakespeare said, "Praising what is lost makes the remembrance dear." And we, as God, the people of God, not just as a people of God, even, you know, whether you know God or not as a friend, we are called to remember certain things. Usually, we want to forget how our loved one died because often it comes and it brings with it painful memories. But Jesus instead says, remember my death. Remember my death. Remember the death of me, the Son of the living God. A strange thing perhaps to say, but nonetheless he said it. Remember my death. And so as disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ, it's right and proper. It's important that we do remember his death. And so this morning on this Remembrance Sunday, I want to take the opportunity just to remind ourselves about why we need to remember the death of Christ Jesus. Maybe some of you who are watching online, maybe you don't know why we celebrate the death and the resurrection of Christ Jesus. And so it's probably good that we have a reminder this morning. Jesus wants his disciples to remember his death. Why? Everything that we have as disciples of Christ Jesus centers around his death. Everything that we are, everything that we hope to be in and through Christ Jesus centers around his death, because the death of Christ Jesus is central, it's core, it's foundational to the message of the gospel. Indeed, there is no gospel, there is no good news without the death of Christ. But more than that, the gospel, the good news, the hope that we have isn't just centered in a life and a death, but it's not completed until we remember the resurrection. Someone say amen. 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 Listen, the gospel is not the gospel without the resurrection. You see, we are not saved by the life of Christ. Instead, we are saved by his death. Glory to God. You see, his death saves us, rescues us from sin. And the rescue that we need is in Jesus. And let me say, no one else is able and was able to complete that work of rescue, of salvation, except the Lord Jesus Christ. His death and his death alone saves us from the effects or the power or the consequence of our sin. And make no mistake about it, the Bible reminds us that all of us have sinned. All of us fall short of the goodness, the glory of God. I know many people think, well, I'm a good person. Well, listen, goodness is not measured in accordance with what you think or what other people say. Goodness is measured in accordance when we align ourselves up with the living God and we look to him. He sets the standard about what is good, not us. And so the Bible is right when it says no one is good. And so the death of Christ saves us from the consequence of our sin. His death defeats sin, and it shows us his love for us. You see, God loves us so much that he's not prepared to leave us as we are. He's not prepared to leave us to the consequence of our sinful nature. Instead, he loves us so much that he effected a rescue plan through Christ Jesus, and there was no other way. Listen, I'll say that again. There was no other way. God could not have effected the rescue plan except through the death of his son, Christ Jesus, on the cross. And so God effected a rescue plan that would save us from the effects and the consequence of sin. God, the death of Christ Jesus shows us, demonstrates his love for us, because he wasn't prepared to leave us in our sin. His death also gives us a kingdom to look forward to. Every single day, every single one of us, without doubt, struggle with sin. I struggle with sin every single day. Every single day I'm making choices about doing the right thing, the wrong thing, walking in this direction, going in that direction. Every single day I struggle with sin, and I'm sure you're the same. But the good news is this, that when we finally enter God's kingdom, when we finally enter the kingdom of heaven, that struggle with sin will be over. Hallelujah. We have a glorious future to look forward to. But I want to say this again. I want to say this again because it is worth saying. Colossians 3:2 reminds us that we fix our minds on things of heaven, not on things of earth. Why? Because when we do that, I'm saying it again because it's worth saying, because when we fix our minds on the things above and not on the things of earth, then we understand, we come to the revelation that heaven is not our destination. Of course, we will be in heaven because that's where God is. But heaven of itself is not our destination. God is. We are not pursuing, our hope is not in the pursuing of a place, but rather in the pursuing of a person. Our hope is not in the hope that we get or that we can get to a region, but actually that we get or we enter into a relationship with the living God. It's all about Him. It's about a person, not a place. Although, as I say, we get to live in heaven because of the fact that that's where God is. Many a time I've had conversations with Jehovah's Witnesses, and they'll give you the classic question about where's heaven? Where's heaven? And my reply is a very simple one, but it's enough for me. And it's this: I don't know where heaven is, but what I do know is that with the hope that I have, wherever God is, that's where I'll be. That's all we need to know. We don't need to know the dynamics, the physical understanding of where exactly heaven is, how it works out in physics, interdimensional or whatever. All we need to know is that at the end of time, when we have lived our lives for the glory of God, that we will get to live in God's heaven because that's where God is. Hallelujah. Because Christ has made it possible for us to have relationship with Him. The death of Christ is an expression of God's divine grace. None of us deserve it. It's a work of divine grace, and God, knowing everything about us, still considered us worthy enough worthy enough to die for. It's a work of divine grace. And the death of Christ tells us, and we need to know this as we come to Christmas and we think about all the presents that we might get or we're buying for other people. But at this Christmas time, we need to know that the death of Christ tells us is a demonstration that there is no greater gift. Hallelujah. There is nothing else. There is nothing greater that God could have done for us except offer His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, as our eternal sacrifice. Glory to God. There is no greater gift for us to receive. And again, I want to encourage you, if you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, then you need to get to know Him, because you need to know the wonder of that which God has offered us through His Son, Christ Jesus. Jesus tells us to remember His death. Jesus also wants His disciples to remember why He died. And so we ask the question, why did He die? And maybe some of you are saying, why did He die? I've heard people say, well, there could have been another way. Jesus didn't have to die. Well, I want to tell you, He did have to die. There was no other way. He died. Christ Jesus died for our sin. And it does us well to remember that. 1 Corinthians 15 verse 3 tells us this: For I delivered to you, Paul speaking to the church there at Corinth, for I delivered to you as of first importance what I also received, that Christ died for our sins in accordance with the Scriptures. In other words, God had foretold this years before. God had already set in place a rescue plan for humankind, and this was it. There was no plan B. Christ had to die for our sin. Otherwise, we would still be lost and dead in our sin. Christ was the substitute for us. Christ took our place. He took the punishment that should have been ours. Again, Isaiah 53 verses 4 to 5 tells us this. It says, "Surely," speaking of Christ, "he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we esteemed him stricken, smitten by God, and afflicted. But he was pierced for our transgression. He was crushed for our iniquities. Upon him was the chastisement that brought us peace. And with his wounds we are healed." Glory to God. With his wounds we are healed. Let me just go back there a moment, because there's two things in there. It speaks about our transgressions. It speaks about our iniquities. And I just feel I just need to bring some clarification on this, because it's not, those are two words that we don't use very often. Our transgressions are those things that we do intentionally, where we make a choice and even though we know it's wrong, we still choose to do them anyway. Why? Because we enjoy it. I've said this before, if sin wasn't enjoyable, we wouldn't do it. So let's not, you know, be in any doubt about it. Sin is enjoyable. That's why we struggle with it, because if it wasn't enjoyable, we wouldn't do it. So our transgressions are those things that we willfully do. Our iniquity speaks to our spirit, to our nature. It tells us that we are naturally inclined. We naturally have a leaning. I'm feeling a bit strictly. Lean. We have a natural leaning towards sin. That's who we are. Just like the camber on a road has a natural bias to the side. Likewise, our natural nature is that we have a leaning toward sin. That's what iniquity is. But the word tells us that Christ, through his death, has overcome our transgressions and our iniquities. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Christ died because he paid the debt that we ourselves cannot pay and could not pay. Doesn't matter how long we live, how much work we do, how much philanthropy, you know, good works we do, we will never ever get to a stage where we can stand before God and tell him to count our good works. And on the basis of what we've done, we get into God's heaven. We will never ever get to that place. And so Christ paid a debt for us that we of ourselves can never, ever pay. 1 Peter 2, verse 24 tells us, he, this is Christ himself, bore our sins in his body on the tree, that we might die to sin and live to righteousness. By his wounds you have been healed. Glory to God. You see, because Jesus took our sin, because he bore the punishment that was ours, because he took the consequence of sin, it means we don't have to. We talk today about freedom and liberty. Well, in and through Christ Jesus, we have a liberty, a freedom that no man, no hero could ever secure for us, except for Christ Jesus on the cross. No one else could do what Christ has done for us on the cross. Hallelujah. Jesus also wants his disciples to remember the way that he died, how he died. And I've heard some medical people, some nurses say in the past that they've never seen people die as well as Christians. Simply because we know that death is not the end. We know that there is life beyond this mortal frame. And you know, people have said to me in the past that I've never seen people die as well as Christians. And Jesus wants us to remember the way in which he died. And Christ Jesus didn't die on the cross kicking and screaming. They didn't have to drag him to the cross. He offered himself willingly to a Roman cross. John 10:11 says of Jesus, he says of himself, "I am the good shepherd. the good shepherd lays down his life for his sheep. We didn't take his life, he offered his life. He gave his life for our sins. He gave himself willingly for us. And Jesus wants us to remember the way that he died. He died willingly. Jesus also died humbly. Isaiah 53:7 says this, he was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. Like a lamb that is led to the slaughter, and like a sheep that before its shearers is silent, he opened not his mouth. How many times have we come up against those who vilify us, who are against us, who call us names, who say things about us that just are not true, who, if you like, get up in our face. And you know, you have those moments where you want to say something. You feel that you need to justify your position. And you feel you'd be right if you turned around and you told them exactly what you thought of them. And Jesus could have done that. We know, because Jesus didn't deserve the punishment. He didn't deserve the cross. And yet it says that in spite of all this, all the injustice, he said nothing. He humbled himself, submitting himself to the will of the Father. Jesus died humbly and meekly. Not my will be done, but your will be done. Submitting himself to the will of his Father, because he knew that there was no other way. And Jesus wants us to remember his resurrection. I've said this already. Without the resurrection, there is no good news. Because otherwise, we would just be talking about a dead man. And there are plenty of dead men in graveyards right across the world. Plenty of dead women in graveyards right across the world. But the gospel, the good news is this, that Jesus didn't just live, he didn't just die, but glory to God, he was resurrected to life. And therein lies the good news of the gospel. Romans 1:4 says, and was declared, speaking of Jesus, to be the Son of God in power according to the Spirit of holiness by his resurrection from the dead, Jesus Christ our Lord. In other words, the resurrection is the marker, the evidence that Jesus is who he says he is. No one else has ever come back from the dead. Romans 6:5 says, for if we have been united with him in death like his, we shall certainly be united with him in a resurrection like his. Jesus is the first fruit. Jesus is the one who points and tells us that just as he died and was resurrected to life, likewise, we who invest of ourselves in him, likewise, one day may experience a physical death, but death is not the end. One day we will be raised to glorious life in God's kingdom, and we will be face to face with our God. Hallelujah. Come on, this is this is exciting news. Ours is not a hopelessness, but we have a living hope, and we sang about it this morning. The living hope that is Christ Jesus. 1 Corinthians 15:20 says this, but in fact Christ has been raised from the dead, the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. For as by a man came death, by a man has come also the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, so also in Christ shall all be made alive. Glory to God. Hallelujah. That's the hope that we have, that one day when this mortal frame is finished, when all of this is done with, that we will be raised again to glorious eternal life. Hallelujah. You see, remembering, we are called to remember certain things. And remembering is not just simply recalling historical facts. In our remembering, we also participate in the spiritual realities. And one of those spiritual realities is that one day we will be raised to glorious life. The spiritual reality is that here and now, we can enjoy and know and have a living, dynamic relationship with God our Father, made possible through Christ Jesus. We don't have to wait for eternity, although we are in eternity now, but we don't have to wait until we pass from mortal death into eternal life to enjoy eternity. We can enjoy eternity now. We can have relationship through Christ Jesus and know God now. Hallelujah. And so that's the hope that we have. Knowing as we remember his death, it causes us to look forward with a glorious hope in and through Christ Jesus. 1 Corinthians 11:26 says, "For as often," and we quote this many times when we share the communion meal together, "as often as you eat this bread, drink this cup, you proclaim, you remind yourselves, you declare to the heavens the Lord's death." Until what? Until he comes. Because Jesus is not finished here on earth. Jesus is coming again. The return of Jesus is the blessed hope that we have. We're looking for the day when Jesus again returns and he sets foot on the earth. Jesus is coming again. Let me say that to our online community. Jesus is coming again. Hallelujah. Praise his name. Oh, I'm getting excited about this. But that's the hope that we have. That's the hope that we have. 1 Thessalonians 4:16 reminds us, "For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a cry of command, with the voice of an archangel, and with the sound of the trumpet of God. And the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we who are alive, who are left, will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so we will always be with the Lord. Therefore, encourage one another with these words." Hallelujah. We, friends, are going to be just like Christ Jesus. You know, what, you know, there are plenty of good looking people in the room this morning, and probably some good looking people online. You know, but what I want to tell you, that you're going to get even better. In eternity, when we stand in the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ, when we stand in the presence of our glorious God, you're going to be even better. Why? Because the scriptures tell us that we will be like him. And listen, it doesn't get any better than that, that when we are like and fully like Christ Jesus. 1 John 3:2 says, "Beloved, we are God's children now, and what we will be has not yet appeared. But we know that when he appears, we shall be like him, because we shall see him as he is." Friends, what a hope we have. Church, what a hope we have in and through Christ Jesus. On this Remembrance Sunday, we remember the message that is core, that is central to our faith. We remember the thing that allows us to have a living hope, and it is this, that death is not the end. Amen. Death is not the end. Where, O death, is your sting? Hallelujah. Our hope is not a pie in the sky kind of hope, but it's a sure thing. Why? Because Jesus has said it. Jesus has demonstrated everything that he said he is. He has proven that he is the Son of God. And so he tells us and shows us that when we invest ourselves, when we choose to put our faith in him, it is not wasted. It is not counted as nothing. But it secures for us a living hope that one day, we will be with our glorious God and Father in his heaven for all eternity. And that, friends, is worth remembering. Hallelujah. Praise God. Wow. Thank you, Lord God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus.